Now, I believe I've got Wendy Davis on the line. Wendy, are you there?
I am here.
It's magic. We got you. And
thanks for having me.
Oh man, my pleasure. And I meant to do this weeks ago because I just, you know, when I heard about Lila's Kitchen, I was just super excited. Maybe before we get into that too quickly, do you want to just introduce yourself to our listeners and say who is Wendy Davis? Give us a hint.
Let's see, Wendy Davis. I've lived in town probably a little over 20 years, and coming here probably 40, visiting family and such. So I'm pretty ingrained here, although not one of the OGs for sure.
Well, you know, that's always a good question, right? Like, and I remember Chris Nelson asking this once, like, what is a local?
Yeah.
Like, when do you get to be a local, right? Because I'm pretty sure I'll never be a local, even though, like, you know, I've only been here 9 years. You've been here 20 years and coming here for 40 years, and you still...
Right.
And you're still not ready to call yourself an OG?
No, I don't think so. I don't think I've earned it.
But I mean, there's no way to earn it, right? Unless you're born here, and from that perspective.
Yeah, I think born here means original.
Okay. So there's no way to honorarily be born here. But you're still a local. You can still be a local, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and you are too.
Yeah, I'll take it. I don't feel like, I still feel, honestly, I still feel like a tourist half the time. Because, you know, you just, you'd
well,
like
that's
there.
That's good, to be a tourist in your own town, right?
Right, yeah. And there's always more things to discover. There's more secrets to discover, you know, like, I mean, good secrets, you know.
Right.
The fun ones, like I remember the first time I learned about Mighty Bites, and I was like, yes, oh my God, now I feel like I'm in. Or the secret soup that was at the Lighthouse Cafe. Those little like hidden gems. Of course, it's always about food.
I never got. Yeah, definitely. I hear you. I was never able to get the secret soup. So up on me. That's for sure.
Oh man, that's I wish, you know, it wouldn't actually be that hard to like recreate it, because I think they just took like some noodles and put a bunch of jalapenos in it and like poured a ton of sriracha and maybe a little of that. Really nice, like chili crisp in there. It was pretty straightforward. But it was, it was a secret. And you know what? She also had dumplings, that she had, and this was like the other, like, this was like the nth level. I felt like I had arrived secret, because they were the best Chinese dumplings in town. And there's just, she never advertised them, but you know, you go to that, it was insane. It was like, you know, I could go there and buy socks, cigarettes and dumplings, and I felt like the weirdest one of the weirdest experiences of my life, but also really cool. So RIP the Lighthouse. We're tangenting back to Wendy Davis, who has been coming up here for 40 years. That's pretty cool. Like, when did you start coming up to Port Townsend? Like, was it just as a vacation, or did you have family?
Yeah, I have family here, and they're still here. So I used to take the Greyhound over with my roller skates and come visit my cousin.
Oh,
and,
that's rad.
So, you know, fond memories. And then eventually I was able to make my way over here as well. So a little bit more about where we're leading to, which is Lila's Kitchen, is I've been in basically restaurant, been in hospitality for 30 plus years, let's say. And I've gotten out about 6 years or so and headed into a different line of service, but always, along with my husband, have always, you know, have this fondness for kitchens and cooking and food.
Yeah.
So, we noticed a long time ago that there seemed to be a need in the area for a commercial kitchen space, which, for those people who don't know, if you create food that you are going to be selling to others or giving away to others, you must create that out of a licensed commercial kitchen, so where you're permitted to do so. So there are a lot of small businesses around here who are cooking, baking, and creating, and they need a place. They need multiple places to do that in. And we have a couple around here, and they're doing great. But we felt like they needed another one. We needed another one in the community.
Yeah. So question on that. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. So if you have a food truck, let's say, you can't actually make food on that truck and sell it out of there. You would have to make that food in a commercial kitchen and then sell it on your truck?
Sort of. When you have a food truck, you need to be attached and in contract, basically, with a commercial kitchen. So you have a place to wash all your items, clean your truck, load up all your clean items, because you can't store everything on your truck generally. So a lot of for food trucks, generally, a lot of prep happens in the prep kitchen, the volume of it, and then they pack it all up and go and continue to cook it or assemble it to order out on site.
Mm. And is that specific to Jefferson County, or is that something that's...
No.
Okay, that's just anywhere. A food truck would probably need a commercial kitchen to do the dishes or anything like that.
Correct. And our state has specific rules, but nationwide, they also have similar rules. So each state has their own rules.
Got it. Okay. So that's not special to Jefferson County.
No.
And so you're adding to the commercial kitchen, the availability of commercial kitchens, but it seems like you added a twist to that as well.
We did, right. So my husband spent a decade or so in Santa Cruz, and when he was working down there, there are these giant commercial kitchens with just one walk-up window. And so he would go for lunch, and whoever wanted to serve something out of the commercial kitchen at that walk-up window, that's just what you got. You ordered what was available. And so he had that little twist in mind when we decided we wanted to build this kitchen. And we decided, let's do the walk-up window. But then COVID happened, and so the walk-up window became a really important piece of the puzzle rather than just sort of a, hey, if you feel like it, there will be some food available here at this window. So we pivoted quite a bit when COVID happened, because we were building the kitchen during COVID, and talked to some of our food groups who were coming on board and who had already committed to come on board, and worked with them to affect layout so that it would become more efficient if there were more food groups in the kitchen serving out the window. So we expanded and made basically two windows available for service.
That's so cool. So that wasn't the original plan. Yeah. That was a COVID pivot that actually turned into genius. Seriously, because like, you go past the Market Kitchen. I know like Alejandro's there prepping, and I see the paella cart, but I'm like, I can't go eat it. And you know, like with Lila's, it's like, oh, okay. So like these folks are prepping the rest of they're prepping like the rest of their food, like say the Gorilla Kitchen, if they're doing a catering event somewhere else, they're probably doing that prep while being able to service the walk-up window at the same time.
Correct. And when we get through COVID and we're allowed to gather in larger amounts, those festivals, weddings, everything, it will hopefully, we're hoping it's all coming back. Then that will make the kitchen much more busy. Some of the more established food groups have minor catering gigs already, and so they'll prep those along the way. For example, Mo Chili, they serve out of three locations over the course of a few days. So they'll do all the prep for those on-site locations, as well as they've staffed up. So they've been able to hire multiple people. They've staffed up to then also sell out the window too.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh man.
Yeah.
So are you and your husband going to do a project too, or are you just going to enjoy facilitating other folks making food?
For right now, you never know what happens in the future, but for right now, we're just enjoying everyone else's labors. And it's actually pretty fun to see all the extinct food coming out of the kitchen. The folks that are in there are really, they seem very happy. They love working together. A joint use kitchen could be awkward or uncomfortable at times, but so far, everyone we've brought on or are about to bring on are working together pretty well. So they seem pretty excited to show up to work together.
That's rad. So
it's fun to see that.
Yeah, and I want to get the rundown of who's there, and maybe if you can give us a taste of who's coming. But first, we're going to do a little musical interlude. You brought us a Beastie Boys song from Paul's Boutique, which the album's named after me, so I appreciate it. And it's a great Beastie Boys song. Do you want to introduce it, or you just want us to drop it on folks?
You go for it. You're the pro.
All right, here we go. This is Eggman, the Beastie Boys, from their seminal album, most important album, Paul's Boutique. And we're talking to Wendy Davis, and she's bringing us rap music and good food and all the goodness. Thank you. This is Filter. Here's the Beasties. And we're back on Filter. I'm Paul Rice, and we have Wendy Davis, not in the studio, but in the cellular land, beamed in to the studio, talking to you about her project. It's yours and your husband's project, right? You're co-owners of Lila's Kitchen.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And yep. And you guys built it out yourselves too, because I think your husband's a contractor, right?
Yeah, he's a contractor. So we built the building and designed the unit that the kitchen ended up being in, and so we were able to build it from scratch, which was pretty exciting.
Things are really happening in the business park. I'm not trying to advertise for the business park. I'm not supposed to advertise for anything, but it seems like it just seems like there's real culture that's popping off there now, you know, thanks to, I mean, the brewery and now with Lila's going. Is that just sort of how it's gonna go in the future? And you know, I guess where do you see the business park, going from here?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because we've got some big plans up there. And you're right, it does seem like the area is kind of catching on. And a little side fact, what we learned along the way is that the city of Port Townsend had put it in their sub-area plan that a commercial kitchen would be needed up in that area. So we felt like that then would be supported. So that's always kind of helpful.
Yeah.
And so we also have Admiralty Distilleries up there. We have Elevated. Well, their chocolate making is up there, so no longer Elevated, but the former owners are making chocolate.
Got it.
We have Coffee Roaster, and then we have Two Crows baking. They're open on Friday mornings now on our same block. With
what's Two Crows? What's Two Crows?
Pastries.
Oh. Are it's like a cafe?
Not quite cafe, but definitely walk up and order some coffee and pastries. And then, you know, after you're done with that, you can come over and order some lunch at Lila's.
Yeah, perfect. And then get a beer, right? Get a nice noon beer.
And then you can get a beer, right? And you can wander over and get a beer. But what we've also secured the lot next to us, and what we're thinking of building out in the future, and probably not too far off, but we kind of have to recover with this build first, is making food pods, so that individual businesses can lease those out, or we haven't quite figured all that out. And there'll be places that each group can serve out of own individually. So it'll be theirs. No one shares it. We'll retrofit some storage containers and make them really cool, and kind of make a whole, we're looking to make a food mecca up there.
Wow. That's cool. So just so I understand, they will still be like cooking in Lila's probably, but like then serving
probably
out of the pods.
There will probably be a little bit of a hybrid, because we won't be able to make a whole kitchen in those. Well, it kind of depends. I mean, we'll just see how it goes. Well, we do have some interest in that. People are pretty excited about having their own individual place. You can just open it up. You've got the sign there, and it's all yours. Yeah. And close it up, and when you go back there the next day, it's exactly as you left it.
You're probably kind of an expert on this now. Like, what does it take to have a commercial kitchen? Like, what point does your kitchen just go from being a kitchen to a commercial kitchen?
Well, so a lot, everything's provided. There's sort of a set standard in that industry of what is provided for those who need to lease kitchen. And then we have multiples of things, maybe more so than you would have in a regular restaurant, multiple ovens, multiple mixers, you know, sort of a large number of everything, or multiples of everything, I would say. Ours is a pretty small kitchen compared to many. Some of them can be 10,000 square feet, and we're around 1,000 square feet. So it's pretty little. We won't have any more than 2 to 3 businesses working in there at once. And let's see. So that's kind of the concept.
That's really cool. So that's coming next year. Or maybe.
Next year, we're thinking soon. We would like to build another event space / kitchen / classroom. So.
Oh, cool. I didn't even think about a classroom.
Are interested in court. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally down. I'm already signing up right now.
Yeah. Okay, perfect.
I'm in. Yeah, that's super cool. Yeah, because I mean, I know Finisterre did some classes at one point, and I tried to go to that this year, but it just didn't work out for me at the timing. I forget what they were making, but it was something that sounded really good. But yeah, I've just been, that's, you know, and maybe in COVID times, right, maybe we won't be.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to wait a year or two before. But I love that that's on the table for the future.
Definitely. It seems like a lot of chefs that we talk to, they have a lot of experience and a lot of technique and a lot of creativity that they are very interested in being able to teach that. So that's definitely something we're eyeing for the future.
Cooking
classes are pretty popular, so we would like to see if we can help out with that. And that's basically also the concept of a commercial kitchen. It's called an incubation. We're an incubator where we are having companies come in. You know, of course, they're paying for their use and everything, but we're helping them, we hope to anyway, help them develop their concept, and we help promote, we help advertise, and we want everyone to be successful, and we'll pretty much do whatever it takes to get us there. So
you're doing restaurant development so far, as much as you're being a landlord and renting to these businesses, you're also helping people start their businesses.
Well, I don't want to say that I have a ton of work in the beginning of their businesses. I don't want to overstate it, but I try to make it clear that we try to be very supportive to everyone that's coming in there. And some people that are on deck are brand new at running their own restaurant, and they never maybe would have been able to had the overhead not been, you know, attainable in a shared space. So that's been fun to help encourage and help some folks grow.
That is so rad. Yeah, and I mean, so many people, right, have like that brilliant restaurant idea, and then they've never done it before, but they're so good at cooking at home, and then they just go and they spend all the money on all the equipment, and they take out big loans, and they leverage their house, and 3 years later they have fled the town, and nobody knows where they are, and then it's, you know, it's so much. I mean, the best way to learn your business is to start small, you know, and to start actually really doing it without investing heavily in it, you know?
Absolutely.
I think that's just huge. Like, it changes, in a lot of ways, it changes the game for starting a new restaurant. You know, for folks who've never done it before, it might even save them a lot of money when they realize, this may not be the best idea.
Sure. And the overhead, being able to start in the permitting is a little bit of a journey, but, you know, it's not cost prohibitive. The overhead is pretty minimal to start in this kind of a situation in a shared space. So compared to, you know, buying a kitchen or building a kitchen or renting another space. So I think we're going to see some good things coming out of there.
Can you give us a rundown on the costs? Like, you don't have to give exact costs, obviously, but like, you know, what's sort of like, how do the rates work? How do the rates work?
Well, that's another thing we've pivoted on a little bit, only because we feel it's the right thing to do with COVID. And so generally, kitchen rental space is around, let's say off the top of my head, $18 an hour. It really depends on what you're doing. Some food groups, let's say, you just need a lot of prep space, so you're not needing a lot of, you're not using a lot of the appliances. That their hourly rate would be less. And then we sort of just give them a package. I'm sort of designing a package for each business that comes on, because we aren't able to do a traditional kitchen right now because of COVID. So since we're trying to encourage folks to come on with their new ideas and fill up that kitchen so that we have more food available all day for the week, that's really the goal. And
what do you mean, Wendy, by traditional kitchen? We can't really do a traditional kitchen right now. What does that mean?
It's a little bit, because there are no events and no festivals and not a lot of catering events, a lot of the businesses that would normally come into a kitchen don't have any business right now at all.
Got it.
So the way we would charge for what they are doing now is just going to be a little bit different than a regular kitchen would be, where you're charging. It's much more rigid with, you charge for space, you charge for freezer space, you charge for storage space. So it's very a la carte. And this way we're able to offer folks, and we think, an affordable starting hourly rate, and helps them get through the door. And then we've been talking with everybody about, when we get up to speed, we'll just revisit our rate after COVID. And we'll renegotiate at that point.
That's great. Well, thank you for doing your part in the midst of all this. I mean, it's pretty rad to hear about stuff like that, because not all landlords are doing that.
Well, it's the right thing to do. That's what we feel. And if we want people in there during COVID, we need to be flexible too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So Kay, can you give us a rundown of the businesses currently working out of there, out of Lila's Kitchen? We're talking to Wendy Davis, owner of Lila's Kitchen, which is a commercial kitchen that has retail, to the public. I just want to know, like, who's in there currently, and, you know, what are kind of the regular hours, and can you give us any hints about what's coming soon?
Yes. So right now we have two solid food businesses who've been up and running for some time. And we know them as Mo Chili, who is our first on board. So we call them our anchor tenant with pride.
Nice.
And then the Gorilla Kitchen has been up. I think he's in his second month. And so he's figuring it out and adding wonderful recipes each week. And so that's been fun to come visit for lunch, for sure. We have a baker that's about to start as soon as we can get an inspection for her from the health department.
Did you say a baker?
I won't name her name, because a baker.
Nice.
Yeah. And then we have, I'd say, a handful of chefs putting together their plans and permitting and business licensing, all in the works right now. So we are looking to fill... We want food to be available, you know, as often as someone is willing to serve it. So 7 days a week, we're hoping for.
So, and to serve out of there, it can't just be like a fun one or a one-off thing, like a pop-up necessarily. The folks who are doing it have to have their business licenses, or how does that work?
Right. Technically I think you could, but it'd be a little bit of an investment for a one-off.
Mm.
But I think what we will be doing is putting together some other ideas, sort of collab with each of the groups in there. We're talking about doing some special meals and more of like a pop-up meal outside, something social distancing related, that we can be in a tent, but we can have some good space. So we're looking on getting some kind of a structure for the inclement weather out there. So I think that would be a little bit the definition of a pop-up, but it would still be people that are already licensed to work through there, or permitted, I should say. So it'd just be, the only difference we would be is submitting a different menu item or a different menu to the health department for approval, and then that would be good to go.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. And it probably is right around the right time to get a tent up for the incoming inclement weather. So you're thinking ahead. Well,
definitely.
So just a little bit more about the businesses. So Mo Chili is a barbecue spot, right?
Right.
Can you give us a little background on them?
Sure. They have been cooking excellent food for, they just passed their 5-year mark. Their 5-year has been, you know, has 2020 for everybody has been not without its challenges.
Nice.
They were closed down several times this year already. Smoke and fire reasons, COVID, obviously COVID related. But they've been hanging in there and adding in more days. They're going to 3 days a week now, which is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Their hours are 11 to 6. So they stay a little bit later.
That's great. Yeah. And do they do breakfast too? Yeah. I've heard of breakfast tacos and biscuits and gravy. Yeah. Are those just rumors or is that true?
That's confirmed.
All right.
I can tell you. They serve those items when they are in front of the brewery, the Port Townsend Brewery, when they're in the port location with their trailer. That's what they serve breakfast on that site.
Rad.
Yeah.
Well,
and I'm not sure what the hours are there, but they are very good in social media, so you can always check in on their page and find out where they are.
Well, let's give them the 5-year air horn. There they go. Congratulations, Mo Chili. Hang in there. And then the Gorilla Kitchen's the other mainstay at this point. Can you tell us a little bit about their food and what's their deal?
Sure. Walter has lived in town about 5 years, as I understand. And he was a chef prior to living here. And I believe had plans to own a restaurant, buy a restaurant, run a restaurant or something like that. And pretty soon, you know, 5 years goes by. So he learned about this kitchen and made the leap to decide that now's the time. It's COVID. It's time. It's time to do different things. And so he approached us and asked, or, you know, we talked and he asked to come in and we agreed it would be wonderful to have him there. And so he serves world food, he calls it. And so it's all handmade, as locally sourced as possible. So he's making sausages and empanadas and everything from scratch. So it's delicious.
Mm.
And so everything's lovingly made there. And he puts in a lot of hours and is right now working or serving lunch Fridays and Saturdays from 11 to 4.
All right. Oh, so that'd be right now. So basically,
that'd
anybody
right
who's
now.
Listening right now could go up to the business park and go back towards the end or towards the termination of. No, it's not a termination. What do you call that part of a cul-de-sac? It's the bottom
it's
of the
cul-de-sac.
U. It's not a cul-de-sac.
The bottom of the U.
It's the bottom of the U. Just go straight. Either way, go to the business park. Go straight. Yeah. You'll make a left or a right. If you need help, if you need help, just text me or message me on Facebook and I'll drop like a location pin to show you where Lila's is. Or you could probably look them up on Facebook. Yeah. Do you guys have a Facebook?
Yep. Yep, we do.
All right.
And we have some help there with another small business in town that helped us produce social media for us. And they're called A Fair Story. So we've engaged them to help us with our our website design. And
is that Rodney's company?
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, shout out to Rod Just, A Fair Story.
Totally shout out.
I'm glad they're still working. Actually, I didn't know. I guess I haven't been into the co-op for too long, so I don't know what's up with Rodney. But I'm glad they're still doing the social media. I actually produce my show now off of a computer that Rod sold me. So yeah.
Okay.
He's
they're very talented.
Yeah. No. Yeah. A Fair Story. All about it. So that's cool. So they do all the social media stuff. They publish it. They handle it for you.
Yeah, not all of it, but the bulk of it. And so that's been a huge help.
That's rad. Well, so if people want to reach out about starting their, renting the commercial kitchen and potentially being a vendor as well, or, you know, both, whatever they need, what's the best way for folks to get in touch with you, Wendy, or in touch with Lila's Kitchen?
You can either go through the Facebook page, which is Lila's Kitchen on Facebook, and reach out that way. And we also, if you're just looking to come for lunch, then we connect. We repost both the vendors' serving schedules, so that will get you there. And then if you are interested in becoming a part of Lila's family, you can email us at lilascommercialkitchen@gmail.com.
Rad. Well, do you have any shout-outs you'd like to make? Anything that we might have missed? I won't make you tell us about your day job. But anything you want to share, or just, you know, or tell the two people that are listening right now.
Oh, just two?
No, I can't actually see. I always scare people when I say that, but like legitimately, I have no idea how many people are listening.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are thousands, but I just want those. I want people to feel special, you know, and maybe it makes them feel special thinking that they're one of two tuned in. Man, I'm giving away my secrets. No, I have,
you are.
I have no idea. You know, you've got
to. I would really like to make. Go ahead.
No, I'm done. You go. You make your shout outs. I want to hear you.
Okay. I would really like to thank Mike Harbin and his lovely wife, Heather of Mo Chili, for being excellent tenants and friends and riding this crazy journey together. And also for the Gorilla Kitchen and Walter for putting his trust in us. And we are going to create even bigger and better family up there. So I'm glad for what we've started so far. And I'm really excited to see what we're going to unfold there.
Well,
and, you know, I would be.
No, you go.
I should probably thank my husband for being a co-visionary here. He loves food. We love to be around food. I have the experience in the restaurant land, but he hasn't. But he is the main chef of the family, so we have an equal love for this industry. And thanking all our friends that have been very supportive to all of this. And also all the contractors, all the subs that through COVID, you know, went to bat for us. And we were able, by special permission from the state, since it was food related, we were able to continue on the construction. So
that's rad.
We're a little late on. Yeah. So it's just been a pretty fun journey so far.
Well, thanks for being with us here today, Wendy, and we'll get you back on once the Food Pods thing gets a little closer. That I want to know more, and I can't wait to see how that actually works.
I think it's been really fun.
And if you're listening, it's not too late to head down to Lila's Kitchen and get your lunch. It's not too late for lunch either. So thank you, Wendy. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. All right, that was Wendy Davis from Lila's Kitchen.